This year's Advent reading points us to the Gospel of Mark. Gospel of Mark, I'll be reading from chapter 13, verses 24 to 37. These are the words of Jesus. Following those hard times, the sun will fade out, the moon cloud over, stars will fall out of the sky, cosmic powers will tremble. And then they'll see the Son of Man enter in grand style, his arrival filling the sky. No one will miss it. He'll dispatch the angels. They'll pull in the chosen from the four winds, from pole to pole. So take a lesson from the fig tree. From the moment you notice its buds form, the nearest hint of green, you'll know that summer is just around the corner. And so it is with you. When you see all of these things, you know he is at the door. And so, when you see these things, don't take this lightly. I'm not just saying this for some future generation, but for this one too. These things will happen. Sky and earth will wear out, but my words, they will never wear out. But the exact day and the hour? No one knows that. Not even heaven's angels, not even the Son, only the Father. And so keep a sharp lookout, for you don't know the timetable. It's like a person who plans a trip, leaving home and putting all the people in charge, each assigned to a task, and commanding the gatekeeper, stand watch. So stay at your post, watching. You have no idea when the homeowner is returning. It might be evening. It could be midnight or at the morning. You don't want him showing up unannounced with you asleep at the job. I say to you, and I'm saying to all of you, stay at your post. And keep watch. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for your word to us today. We heard it in song. We felt it as we were greeted. We enjoy the safe place. Thank you for accepting and receiving us warmly today. And so may our hearts and minds keep listening for the unexpected surprise, in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the things I like most about my dog, Finn, is this. Finn's in the backseat. I run into the hardware store to pick up something. Come back a few minutes later, and Finn's still in the backseat. He acts as if I had never left. He acts like I have been gone like for 5 years, and I finally returned from a long vacation. It's just amazing. Now, I'm not a pet owner, like historically. I had a couple dogs when I was little, but not really a cool pet owner until most recently with Finn. And that's when our grandson, Cy, decided he needed a dog. Melissa said she needed a dog. And even though I said we don't need a dog, Finn has become my new best friend. Because every time I leave the room, every time I walk away from the car and come back, it could be 5 minutes or 5 hours, he greets me like I never left. Like I've just, oh my God, look who's here. I can't believe it. We're so nice to see you. This is so great. Do you have pets like this? Or is this is just my dog, right? All right, your hamster does this? How about your cat? All right, well, I know dogs do this. But it's a wonderful feeling because I know I've been gone. But Finn, somehow, his sense of the interval of time is just different than ours. And so now that he's a year old, even though in the beginning he got quite anxious when we left the house, he always knows Sunday, you know, we're always getting ready for worship and we head on out. He gets kind of that sad doggy look on his face. And he just knows that we're leaving. Now, I've researched this. It's somehow to do with the pheromones. As people get ready to leave, the anxiety increases, you know, whatever. Animals can pick up that scent, and they associate the scent with the behavior. And so they know that whenever they smell that smell, whenever they sense that anxiety of people getting ready, they just know, oh man, I know they're going to be leaving soon. But you know, he'll be waiting right at the door when we get back. He'll just, oh, look who's back. I can't believe you're here. It's so nice to see you. You know, the disciples probably were not like dogs. And we're not quite like dogs. Because when we want something, when we're waiting for something, when we're waiting for that UPS guy, when we're waiting for the fellow who said he was going to come by and fix the heater, and they say they're going to be here between 9 and noon, we just know it's going to probably be 1:30. And so we just keep waiting and waiting and waiting because we don't like to wait. We don't like to wait because we forget or we think that we're always in charge, that we're always the ones who, well, if you said between 9 and noon, I know that you'll be here right at 9:01. And we just feel like, I don't know, we're worth that. Somehow that kind of respect, we just expect that. But and now all the vendors around, from Comcast to the local Culligan man, all of these people are now just upping their game on expectation. And so now sometimes they even give you a one-hour window. You know, my Hoffman Exterminator guy, he actually texts me when he's 15 minutes out. And so this kind of customer service has gotten us all into a mode that when something is promised, when something is anticipated to happen, we all are in agreement, this is going to happen. We just expect it to happen. But life isn't really like that. I know today, for instance, with our chandelier, how many people saw it lit this morning? So we can have some witnesses. All right, a whole bunch of people. And Kevin and the folks, Roland, and all the people that have been working hard on this, had this done, that thing was lit, and it's unexpected, it's just not lit. Now we're going to get that fixed real quick. But that was an unexpected thing. And so God must have a reason for that. And I had nothing to do with this, I promise, but Advent is a lot like this. We all know that I'm going to be putting Jesus in his little cubbyhole here in the center of this little crèche scene. We all know that after, on the Feast of the Kings, we know that we're going to pull out the wise men, and the wise men are going to be nicely scattered about. But we need to remember that we all need practice in anticipating something, that it's good for us to anticipate a story unfolding. How many of you have been planning on going to a movie when someone tells you the ending? How many people have even been killed over that? I mean, my goodness, you ruin relationships over that. How many times have you been handed a good book to read? And someone tells you, you find out, you read some book review. Spoiler alert. Well, the church has a huge spoiler alert today. Guess what? Jesus is going to come back again, and he's already been born. He already lived his life. He died at about 33 years of age. He suffered on the cross for you and for me. Did you know that he was buried? And that on the third day he rose again? Spoiler alert! Did you know that Jesus appeared to more than 500 people in physical form after his resurrection? And that he went around doing deeds of kindness, of making appearances, and he even appeared to the Apostle Paul. Do you remember? Spoiler alert, that Paul, on the way to Damascus, ready to destroy other Christians, because Christianity put the ox cart back right side up. Jesus didn't overturn things. Jesus fixes things. Jesus takes things and makes them right. And so Paul, on his way to Damascus to get rid of those Jesus followers, called Christians, oh my, just to remove them from the face of the earth, he met Jesus on his way. And Paul said, as if to one born abnormally late, Jesus appeared even to me. Spoiler alert, Jesus said he was coming back again. Oh, now I gotcha. He hasn't returned yet. And so here's actually the great dramatic ending that sort of has an ellipsis after it. Jesus said, as you have seen me go up into heaven, one day I am coming back. And he said this. Gospel of Mark was written around 45 AD. Jesus said these words, obviously, before he passed. He died and rose again. It was around 33 AD. He said that he would come back again. He said, the message is, you don't know the day or the time, the hour, you just do not know. The Heavenly Father knows. Nobody else knows. And his message is very simple. Just be ready. But by our hope and our expectation can sometimes grow tired. How many times do we wait for the vendor to come for the fifth time late? We say, I'm calling somebody else. How many times do we wait for an uncle? I remember my Uncle Gene. Uncle Gene, hey, Kev, I'm going to come visit the family next week. Now, little kid, I'm like at the window. I'm like Finn, waiting for Uncle. He said he'd be here Saturday morning. I know Uncle Gene's going to come visit, and all my cousins are going to be here any time now. Aunt Snooky and Uncle Gene from Damascus, Maryland. And they're going to be here anytime. I have a memory, actually, of sitting on that front couch by the picture window waiting for Uncle Gene to arrive. And my mom standing behind me sort of in the dining room, just picture her doing, he's not coming. Oh, yes, he is. I'm going to see Cousin Gene. I'm going to see Cousin Alan. I'm going to see Cousin Shirley. Uncle Gene and Aunt Snooky are coming. I just can't wait. They said they'd be here today. I'd be looking out the window, just like my dog. Is that old car? Oh, shoot, not him. Wait, kill looking. And my mom is just standing there saying, it's not coming. Now guess what? Mom's always right. And that Uncle Gene, I remember telling him years later, I said, Uncle Gene, you know, you told me so many times. You know how many time visits you owe me? How many times you told me after seeing him in one place, say, oh, I'm going to come by next month, fourth Saturday, I'll be down. I'll bring the kids down. We'll have a great time at your house. Okay, Uncle Gene. Uncle Gene? Uncle Gene? Uncle Gene? Never showed. Now, I've gotten over that. But then there was Uncle George who promised. There was Aunt Mary that promised. You know, there was the neighbors who said they were going to come over one day and we're going to play in the backyard, have a little play date with her kids. Never happened. You know, life is filled with those kinds of disappointments. And some of them are serious. I know that there are some people that are just waiting for that disability thing to be settled up so they can get the money that they need to pay their bills. They just wait, and they wait, and they wait. Sometimes we wait for that refund. Sometimes we wait to win the lottery. No, that's different. But we do wait for things that have been promised. And Jesus left his disciples with only the sign of the fig tree. Now, do anybody have a fig tree? I actually had one in our house in Florida once. It did not last long. Would not have been a good example for this. You have a fig tree. Now, this fig tree, as Jesus is speaking, says that as soon as you see those buds appear, you know that summer is coming and soon you will have fruit. Is that true, Barbara? All right, you heard it right here from Barbara King. And so that fig tree was a promise. And so Jesus, with his disciples, he's trying to get them to say, be ready. Don't take things for granted. You may think you know what's ahead. You've been to Jerusalem a million times. I'm telling you, this time's going to be different. You may think I'm going to be around forever. I know, I appreciate that. But guess what? Maybe that is not going to quite be the case. Be ready for the surprise. And so, oh, well, here, take a look at this fig tree. You see the buds on the fig tree? Well, we know that summer's going to be coming any time now. And so we wait. We wait patiently. No, probably not. But we do wait expectantly. Because just as sure as Jesus came the first time, he's coming again the second time. But what do we do in between? 1 Corinthians, Paul, the same Paul that met Jesus on the road to Damascus, said, keep alert. Stand firm in your faith. Be courageous and strong. However strong you are today, Paul says, be strong. However courageous you may feel today, he says, be courageous. However firm you may feel in your faith today, Paul says, be strong in your faith. Why? Because we just don't know when he's coming. More importantly, we have things to do in between. So even though we can anticipate this holiday, for some of us, for maybe some of you, maybe friends, family that you love, this is a very sad time of year. Because as we've been anticipating things, the holiday coming, we also are mindful of the losses that we felt. God knows that we feel sadness sometimes at holidays. God knows that sometimes we don't have so much courage. God knows sometimes we don't have so much faith. Sometimes we're so busy judging, sometimes ourselves, that we have no room left for the surprise. And other times we are just so doggedly waiting for the surprise that nothing else seems to matter. And we get distracted. And so in between, we just do nothing. So God wants to let all of us know, I keep my promises. And all of us have something to do until I come back again. Oh, and if I didn't mention it before, spoiler alert, I will be back again. But in the meantime, be strong, be courageous, and remember that God always keeps the promises and receives us in our sadness, receives us in our fear, receives us in our joy, accepts us in our celebration. And our community has maybe gotten a little tired of Christmas, which is essentially turned into advertising that begins November 1st. And now Christmas has sort of become just another buying season. There's a lot of wonderful parts to that, people giving gifts and exchanging things. It's a wonderful time of giving, of participating in community giving, family giving. But Jesus wants us to remember that we are here to be ready for what's coming next. So when those mittens were made 300 years ago, who knew that 300 years later they'd be telling the story of the mittens with the finger holes and the thumb hole? And that people would be sitting here anticipating the Christmas story, the Advent journey leading up to Christmas. What's going to be different this year for you? What do you need from God? What assurances do you need? Well, stay tuned, because God will not disappoint. Let us pray. Just in silence, let's pause for a moment. Let God know what some of your disappointments are. Those Uncle Gene moments. Let God know some of the fears that you have anticipating this season. Remind yourself of the things you anticipate, the joyful reunions with the family, exchanging gifts with friends and loved ones, volunteering, serving the community with enthusiasm, mentoring a child, volunteering at a food bank, participating in the life and witness of this congregation, taking the joy of Christmas with you. Lord, thank you that you have accepted us. You've invited us into an inclusive family of faith. And thank you for calling us to prepare for what lies ahead. Amen.